Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, Michael Pollan on food in America, from your Congress to your kitchen. And the legendary author will take your calls today on the biggest difference between your mother's kitchen and your own. And we have the Freakonomics guys, Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner, for part two of our Think Like a Freak series. Today, Think Like a Child. But we begin today with a people's budgeting exercise. This will be fun. Spend New York City's money on your local park. Mayor de Blasio's new budget includes a line for $80 million for capital construction projects in what they call neighborhood parks, that is, parks other than the marquee privately funded ones like Central Park, Brooklyn Bridge Park, or the High Line. City Council is trying to spend even more than the mayor wants, adding a proposal for $27 million more for maintenance, gardening, and security staff. So if your neighborhood park is one of the many green spaces that could use an infusion of this other kind of green, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And folks, this is not just to amuse ourselves, because with us to hear your neighborhood park appeals with his own ears is the City Council Parks Committee Chairman, Mark Levine, a guy who might actually be able to make something happen for you, for you and your neighborhood park. Seriously, his own district is the Upper West Side north through Washington Heights. But he's got his Parks Committee eyes open citywide. Councilman Mark Levine, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here.
And listeners, again, spend New York City's money on your local park. And while you're on, you can take our two-question park census. How do you most commonly use your neighborhood park? And what's the biggest thing your neighborhood park could use to make it better? That's the Spend Our Tax Dollars Please Department, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And so, Councilman, as people's calls are coming in, does the de Blasio budget, in your opinion, begin to keep his campaign promise to work for parks equity in New York City?
Well, Brian, the presence of capital money in there is a great start. But the council has focused on and prioritized the need for more operating money for neighborhood parks. You know, we have a two-tiered park system today in which a small number of privately funded parks are doing fabulous, and the rest of the system's forced to rely only on public dollars, a budget which has languished. And you see that most in the lack of staffing in neighborhood parks. I can't wait to hear what our callers suggest. But for sure you see it in the lack of maintenance workers and gardeners and safety officers. So that's what we focused on in our response to the mayor's budget.
And just to be clear, and maybe it's obvious to most people, but you're making a distinction between the capital budget and the operating budget.
That's right. The operating budget covers the things that you see day to day, the staffing and other regular maintenance. And this is, I think, something that New Yorkers are keenly aware of. The disparities in the number of safety officers, for example. Central Park is able to afford extra safety officers thanks to its private funding, and we celebrate the success of that park. But we have a responsibility to make sure that every park in the city can enjoy similar staffing to have similar results.
So this $27.5 million above what the mayor would spend, you have it earmarked for personnel: gardeners, maintenance workers, patrol officers.
That's right. Let me give you one stat. The entire borough of the Bronx, which has 7,000 acres of parkland, has 26 PEP officers assigned to it. Battery Park City's park, which is 26 acres, has almost exactly the same number of PEP officers for that tiny little property. They've been able to raise private funds for that, and that's wonderful. We hope they continue to succeed. But we want the rest of the city to enjoy similar benefits.
The Bronx actually has so much parkland. People have no idea until they walk or bike or drive through it.
It's 25% of the borough is parkland.
So how many extra Parks Department employees can you hire for $27 million a year?
Well, we focus first on gardeners and maintenance workers, and our plan would give 5 gardeners and 10 maintenance workers to every borough. We'd also beef up the PEP officer force by adding 150 officers. It's almost a doubling. It would get us back to historic levels. We've seen a real decrease in the staffing compared to decades past. One objective measure that the Trust for Public Land uses is the number of staff per 10,000 residents. In New York City, it's 6. That puts us at 41st out of the 50 largest cities in America. Not a ranking I think any of us are proud of.
All right, listeners, spend New York City's money. Mayor de Blasio put $80 million for capital construction into his budget for neighborhood parks. And again, that's ones that are not well-funded by private conservancies, so not Central Park, not the High Line, not Prospect Park, not Brooklyn Bridge Park, a few others. Your neighborhood park, as defined by the mayor and our guest, the City Council Parks Committee Chairman Mark Levine, neighborhood park, what could they use for maintenance and operating expenses? What could your neighborhood park use for a capital improvement? This money, at least $80 million of it, they already agree on that much, is going to be there, and maybe another $27 million. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's start with Michael in Red Hook. Michael, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
What's your local park?
It's called Coffee Park. It's a beautiful little park. It's kind of the only one in Red Hook.
What's the biggest thing you're how do you most commonly use Coffee Park?
It's like a social gathering place. It's where people come to have birthdays and baptisms and all kinds of celebrations that really aren't available. There's no space available for them anywhere.
Uh-huh. So a community gathering space.
Great. Absolutely, yeah. But the problem is the Parks Department has decided to renovate it. They contracted it out. The first anybody in the neighborhood heard of it was they put a giant hurricane fence around the park without telling anyone on the first warm day of the year, basically, and there's been no work done for a month. And so this whole community feels kind of stomped on. There's a plan funded and made without anyone's knowledge, and this park is going to be closed for a year. Now, I've been involved in big construction projects, big complex construction projects, and I know what can be done in a year.
So you're saying get in there and get it done. Do you like the nature of the construction, whatever it is that they're going to do there to renovate it?
I don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is. Do you happen to know that park?
I don't, but I'm so glad that Michael was our first caller because he points out the truth that parks are about so much more than just aesthetics and beauty, as important as that is. Parks are about healthy neighborhoods. They're intimately tied to the health of their neighborhoods. They promote community building, social capital, even in ways we're only just beginning to understand, our physical health. And the great thing about having a new parks commissioner in Mitchell Silver, who's an urban planner by profession, is that he gets this instinctively. But Michael's pointing out another problem, which is the slow pace of capital work in New York City parks. This has been identified as one of the biggest problems by the City Council. It can take 3 or 4 years to do even modest projects, even a bathroom renovation. And so to try and respond to this, the City Council has proposed hiring additional staff for the Capital Division of the Parks Department to speed this process up.
Laura in East Harlem, you're on WNYC. And Mark Levine,
Hi.
You remember Coffee Park and Red Hook. You make a note of that.
I'm on it.
Take a look there for Michael and his neighbors. They need that gathering place. Don't let that construction take 3 years. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I'd like to just make a plea on behalf of our neighborhood to help restore Jefferson Park to its previous glory. I mean, it's actually a wonderful park. It has tons of facilities, a beautiful pool, but it sort of feels like the annual upkeep just isn't happening. The grass just slowly is receding and not coming back because there's such high volume use there. And, you know, it is a wonderful coming together spot for everybody in the summertime with barbecues and everything. But I think, you know, we have a lot of neighborhood networks to help maintain the park, but there's just not quite enough people on the ground to manage trash and just the insane volume of use that happens, particularly in the summer.
What's the most common way that you use Jefferson Park?
Dog run. I have two dogs, and I also have a young child, so I use the playground quite a bit.
Okay.
And I use the pool every morning is when it's open,
wow.
The 8 weeks that it's open.
Yeah, that's great. Now, where in East Harlem is Jefferson Park? Is that right on the water there?
It's right on the water, so it's sandwiched between 1st Avenue, FDR Drive, 111th, and 114th Street,
right.
just into Rayos, yeah.
Thank you very much. All right, so Jefferson Park. And Gary in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. What's your neighborhood park?
Van Cortlandt Park.
The huge and gorgeous, and I use it all the time, Van Cortlandt Park. Does this count as one of the conservancy parks or no?
They do have a conservancy, but they're able to raise comparatively little money relative to Central Park, Prospect Park.
So it would be eligible in your budget for neighborhood park status for capital or maintenance funding?
Absolutely. This park illustrates our dilemma, which is that the success of a conservancy depends on whether it's got wealthy neighbors. And if your neighbors include the wealthiest of the city, you're going to raise a lot of money. And that's great for those parks. But Van Cortlandt Park is surrounded by modest neighborhoods and has raised very little money for a massive, gorgeous park that desperately needs more investment.
And Van Cortlandt Park has everything from cricket matches to the bicycle trail that'll go north into Westchester, to horses stabled in Van Cortlandt Park. Gary, how do you most commonly use Van Cortlandt Park?
I'm a runner with the Van Cortlandt Track Club, and basically we love the trails that are unpaved, and we are against any paving of trails, which they'd like to do to the Putnam Trail, which was an old railroad track, which is now has been for 25 years or more a beautiful walking nature trail.
So that's an improvement that you don't walk. We want
to improve the trail. As you know, it floods because I know you bike there.
Right. You and I, by the way, are on different sides of this issue. I'm for the biker's agenda where that should be paved because I've gotten stuck with a road bike in that mud and you can't get to the county line. But, Gary, I hear you.
It needs to be improved, but stone dust would work and it's ADA compliant. All we need is the maintenance money. So I thought this might be a good use for it.
Thank you very much.
You know, Brian, the beloved horse stable in Van Cortlandt Park is under threat right now because the concessioner there is about to lose their contract. So I just want to flag that as an issue we're working on to make sure that we keep the wonderful horses in that park.
Do you have a park in your own district, which I know goes from the northern edge of the Upper West Side through Morningside Heights, West Harlem, Hamilton Heights, Washington Heights?
Yes, that's right. We have many parks. Morningside Park is a fabulous park just north of Central Park, which is built on a rocky ledge between Columbia University and Harlem. It's used intensively by the surrounding neighborhoods and has many unmet funding needs. I will say, though, that this is a great park to pick because it's getting help from Central Park, a great example of the kind of things we need to see more of. Central Park actually sends staff out to help maintain Morningside Park on a regular basis, has done so for years. And I want to see more of this kind of help from the well-funded parks, the neighborhood parks all over the city.
Andrea in Queens. Hi, Andrea. We're in Queens.
Hi, I'm in Kew Gardens.
Uh-huh.
And we have magnificent Forest Park that always seems to get short shrift on everything. It's a huge park. It's a natural terrain Olmsted Park. We have crime issues. We have decay issues. We've got a historic carousel that gets very little attention from parks, and we really need help. We need help to not only make it safer, but to fix the pathways. We have horseback riding in it that the paths don't get maintained, and it's this huge park that serves millions of people in Central Queens that absolutely gets no attention.
Yeah, well, it's one of our top priorities in the city council. It's on our radar. We're working to change
Forest
that.
Park in particular?
Yes.
Which is another huge, sprawling park, serves so many people. So, Andrea, thanks a lot. Let's talk a little bit of politics. And my guest is Mark Levine. He's the chair of the Parks Committee in the New York City Council. And in the de Blasio budget, if you're just joining us, there is a line for $80 million in capital construction funds for what they call neighborhood parks, not the big conservancy-funded parks like Central Park, but neighborhood parks. City Council wants to add another $27 million that would be for maintenance workers, gardeners, and patrol officers for the many neighborhood parks around the city. So the debate is over operating funds and how much extra for that. The consensus already is over $80 million for capital construction for neighborhood parks alone. Are you pushing in the city council for the proposal that State Senator Daniel Squadron made that 20% of any donation to the Central Park Conservancy or Prospect Park Conservancy or Highline or the others be taken out, 20% be taken out to be used for neighborhood parks?
Well, Senator Squadron deserves great credit for putting parks equity front and center in the public debate. And he's absolutely right that we need to find ways for conservancies to support neighborhood parks more. I believe that the answer, though, is for the public budget to be restored to something like its historic levels. We're talking about a system of thousands of neighborhood parks, a parks budget of $380 million. And it's going to take public investment to support parks throughout this sprawling city. And it's why the city council has prioritized this. Other than education and safety, this was our largest single recommendation in our response to the mayor's budget.
When Mayor de Blasio appointed Mitchell Silver as the new parks commissioner and he came on the show, I asked the mayor about this 20% idea after asking him about his parks priorities generally. Here's our 40-second exchange. What's the biggest thing that would be a measure of success for you regarding parks?
Making sure that parks that right now are more neglected get more resources and can be maintained better.
Do you plan to fight for the requirement you've endorsed that the better endowed parks conservancies give a percentage of the donations they get to lower income parks?
Mitch Silver and I both said this. We're looking for a smart methodology to help parks that are less advantaged. That's one option, and we're going to talk with all the stakeholders about it.
So no commitment to fight for that particular
system.
It's
something I think is a valuable proposal, but we're looking at every possibility to get fairness for parks that aren't doing as well.
The mayor and me earlier in the year. So you're on the same page on the basic idea, parks equity, fund the underfunded neighborhood parks. Is there any other specific idea, as he hinted at, that there might be alternatives to the 20% tax if that turns out to be politically impossible?
There are many great ideas. We can encourage conservancies to provide in-kind services, training, support, sending staff to neighborhood parks. Central Parks created an institute to do just that. We can also encourage the donor base of the conservancies to start directing additional money to some sort of new neighborhood fund. This is an idea.
In a voluntary way.
Right, but my sense is that there would be a strong appetite for that if we created a new fund. And this could direct money to parks which otherwise might not get the attention of wealthy donors.
Say please to the wealthy donors instead of you must. All right. So just as we're out of time now and we took some from four of the five boroughs anyway, tell people how they can put their particular neighborhood park needs for construction or for maintenance on your plate as chairman of the City Council Parks Committee.
Well, every council member, all 51 of us, care deeply about parks. And it's often our top priority in our funding that we have discretion over. So I would recommend that everyone contact their local council person if they've got specific requests in their neighborhood. But my door is open as well as an advocate for parks citywide. You're welcome to call my office anytime at 212-928-6814 or email us. You can find me online. We want to hear your needs so we can advocate for you in the budget.
City Council Parks Committee Chairman Mark Levine, thanks for coming on and doing this with us.
Thanks, Brian. A real pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, Michael Pollan coming up, the Freakonomics guys coming up. Stay with us.